So last week we had Easter service, and that was super fun. And it was so awesome to be back in person together again. I mean, having people come out. And also, while we were back in person, there was a lot of people who watched online. And I'm so thankful that you are watching. I know we changed our time at 4:30 to accommodate in person and online. But hey, I'm so excited for what God is doing in this season of growth in the spring, in the summer, as we navigate these challenging times that we're all in. And even though we're in challenging times, I want to encourage people, God is in charge. He has a plan that is beyond anything that we can see. And I'm so excited for what God is doing here in the Richmond area and beyond, okay? So let's go ahead and jump into my message today. I'm going to be honest with you guys today. I have been very happy. I've been very, very happy recently in my life. I've been super pumped. I'm happy. I love that we're back in person. I'm super happy that Aaron and I, we were able to move into an awesome house recently, and then we were able to sell our house to an awesome couple who now have an awesome house. There's so much awesomeness happening right now, I don't think I can handle it, okay? But most of all, I love that it's spring. Mine is the sneezes, you know, because it gets awkward when you're sneezing in the springtime. People look at you kind of funny. Like, what you got? Do you got the COVID? No, I promise, it's allergies. It's that. But the thing I love about spring, it reminds us of the growth after the winter season. It reminds us that things come back. I love to see things grow. Honestly, one of the main reasons why I became a pastor was because I fell in love with seeing people find Jesus and grow in their lives. Seeing people who had horrible habits develop healthy habits. Seeing people who are in struggling marriages find peace and restoration in their marriages. Seeing people who had hard times in their families finding freedom and victory. I love to see people grow. And here's the thing. If you stop learning, you stop growing. And if you stop growing, you will miss out on all that God has made you to be. See, there is never a season in your life where you should stop growing. There's never an age that you get where you just say, oh, I figured it all out. You know, it's funny because young people think they know it all. And then you have seasoned people who think, hey, I experienced it all. But here's the truth. With Jesus, life continues to be an adventure. It continues to be a path of growing. So I have a question for you. What are you growing in your life? What are you growing in your life? The answer actually might be easier than you think. You know, in my life, I'm growing a family, a happy family. I'm growing as a husband, as a father. I'm growing as a pastor as we grow his church. If you're in college, you're growing your education in order to advance where you want to be later on in life. Maybe you are growing a family. Maybe you're growing your career. We are all growing something in our lives. Here you go. I love the spring because it's a reminder that beauty comes after the cold. It comes after the cold. And we've all been kind of through a cold season recently. We've all been through that. But I want you to know, when you put your faith in Jesus, man, flowers come. Beauty comes even after the cold. I also love the spring because recently in my life, I became a gardener. I became a landscaper. Jacob's Janky Lawn Service. If you need help, don't call me, you know. But, you know, I do my best, you know. You know, so here you go. Last year during the pandemic, because my normally over-busy schedule wasn't busy, I had no flights anywhere, I had no meetings, no conferences. You know, I decided, since I was going to stay home all day, I was going to start landscaping my house. I was going to landscape my house. I was going to garden. And in my head, I was like, this can't be too hard. You're just throwing mulch around, right? And you know, and just watering some things. This can't be too difficult. But I was wrong, especially because my yard at my old house probably was never taken care of prior to us moving there. So last spring, I was yanking up vines, raking wood chips everywhere. I was tilling the yard, planting grass seed. You know, I learned how bags of mulch are very deceptive. You know, you think, oh, 10 of them will be fine. It barely covers anything. You know, it was rough. It was rough out there, rough rider. But that time of waking up early to work on my yard, to take care of the plants that we tried to plant, even though most of them didn't make it, it taught me a lot about my own spiritual walk with God. It gave me time to pray and think and hear God even more clearly. Now, what I want to do for the next 2 weeks, I want to expand on our Easter message where I talked about a faith that flourishes. And what I want to do for the next 2 weeks is talk about how you are made to flourish. And so this message, it's not about being a gardener, even though I do got some tips on things not to do. But what we want to do, we want to look at some of the parables that Jesus talked about when he talked about farming, taking care of the land, and how that relates to our spiritual lives. So here's the truth. Everyone is growing something. You are growing something in your life. Is it good or is it bad? That's the question that we want to figure out. What seeds are you planting in this season of your life? And what are you growing? So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about 10 laws of spiritual planting. Come on. And here you go. To set up these 10 laws, I want to read this parable from Jesus in Mark 4. Check this out. Mark 4, verse 26 says, "The kingdom of God is like this. Someone plants some seed in the ground. Then, during both the day and the night, whether that person is awake or asleep, the seed is growing silently. Now that person who planted the seed can't see how it is growing because it is hidden under the ground. But in darkness," check this out, "but in darkness, the soil is helping the seed grow." That's interesting. "First the plant sprouts through, then the tender stalk appears, then the stalk puts on a bud, and finally the head of grain or fruit appears. Then, when it's ready and ripe, the farmer cuts it because it's harvest time." Because it's harvest time. In this simple parable, Jesus is saying, if you want to know how the kingdom of God works, how your life works, you need to understand how to plant seed. You need to understand how planting seeds work. So here you go. Here's some fast lessons that we get from this. First one is this. God expects growth in my life and in my church. God expects growth in my life and in my church. Growth is the evidence of the kingdom of God at work. Growth is the evidence of the kingdom of God at work. God expects us to grow in spiritual maturity. If anyone is a parent, you know growth is a process. And when your kid does something amazing, you think, man, my kid is so awesome. I got the best kid in the world. And when your kid does something not amazing, you think, is that really my kid? You know, maybe it's not, you know. But God expects us to grow personally, and he expects us to grow his church, to grow his kingdom. Here you go. Living things grow. I don't have to command my kids to grow. Jameson, his head just keeps getting bigger and bigger every day. There he is over there. Yeah, it's a big head. But they just keep getting bigger. You know, I can't stop them. They just keep growing, you know. In other words, here you go. I want you to get this. Healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. So the first question I need to ask myself, am I growing spiritually or am I growing superficially? Am I growing spiritually or am I growing superficially? This is a good question to ask. Am I more interested in the way culture thinks more than what Christ thinks about what I should be or what I should do in the culture that I'm living in? Secondly, here you go. Secondly, any fruit in my life, good or bad, comes from seeds planted by people. Any fruit in my life, good or bad, comes from seeds planted by people. Here you go. The seeds planted in your life are either planted by the people around you or by yourself. See, if you ever see a farm with vegetables or fruit or flowers or whatever, it just doesn't appear out of nowhere. A person planted the seed, tended to the field. Notice that this parable that we read, that Jesus said, it says, someone planted the seed. Jesus is not referring to God here. He's referring to a person. So you need to ask yourself, who am I allowing to plant seeds in my life? Who am I allowing to plant seeds in my life? Think about it. Who am I allowing to plant seeds in my life? Am I allowing news outlets, social media, negative people to plant all the seeds in my life? You know, and so to that, then you got to ask, do I want the kind of fruit from the seeds that they are planting in my life? You got to ask yourself, do I want that kind of seed in my life? If not, you have to change it, and you can change it. See, a lot of people plant seeds in your life. Here you go. I plant seeds in your life every single week. If you listen online or in person, everything I say, hopefully they're good, but I'm planting seeds in your life. Everyone does. So, but If TV is your main source, if podcasts, if news radio, if TikTok, if they are planting emotional, mental, spiritual seeds in your life, you got to ask yourself, are they good? Or are they bad? Are they helping you grow? Or are they helping you grow the kind of things you want in your life? This is why I urge you to really pay attention to what you are watching or listening to. Just don't allow anyone to plant seeds in your life. That's why after Christmas last year, this is one of the best things I've ever done. After Christmas last year, I took a break first from social media. And then when we did 21 days of prayer and fasting, I gave up social media for that 21 days. And I haven't been back because honestly, because when I was on social media, it made me feel more grumpy. I was very cynical of people. I was judging people I didn't even know. You know. And so I decided to get rid of it, and I feel 10 times better. Here you go. I got a corny Christian statement for today. Can I do that? I'm entitled to one a week, right? Okay. All right. Here you go. If you are spending more time on Facebook than having your face in God's book, you need to look at your priorities. Is that a good one? All right, I got another one. Got to do two of them? Okay, here you go. If you are listening to Fox News or CNN News more than the good news, it can be harmful for you. Those are my corny jokes. I get them. They're built up. I get a lot because we haven't been in person for over a year. So I got a whole just bunch of them that I'm going to dump out, okay? Here you go. Hey, when it comes to news, you do need to stay informed. Like up to 30 minutes a day, that's what I recommend. You know, be informed, but don't be transformed by the news. Be transformed by the word of God in your life. But seriously, ask yourself, do I like the fruit? Do I like the fruit from the seeds that people are planting in my life? Are people planting seeds of anger, seeds of distrust? Are people I'm hanging out with, people I'm listening to, things I'm listening to, are they planting seeds of love, forgiveness, kindness? See, here you go. It's up to you to decide if you want people to plant good seeds in your life. No one else can do it for you. It's up to you. No one else is going to stop you. It's up to you. And it's also up to you to start planting good seeds in your life with the way you talk about yourself. Come on, man. I can preach for years on this one. I could preach forever on this one because sometimes there are people in your life that aren't positive. And it's, maybe you in a work environment, you just kind of work around a lot of negative people. Maybe in your home life, there is a lot of negativity going on. But you can begin to speak positive words to yourself as you speak the word of God over your life. Sometimes I listen to people, they jab themselves so much with negative self-talk. I want to save them from themselves. Like, stop talking to yourself like that. You know, start planting good seed in your life. And what are seeds? Seeds can be ideas. Seeds can be convictions. Seeds can be perceptions. Seeds can be habits. Every time you start a good habit, you are planting a seed that will lead to good fruit. See, there's relational seeds, financial seeds, personal seeds. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. You know, family seeds. You can plant career seeds, and you might not even harvest it until 20 years down the road. But I'm telling you, God wants you to start planting good seeds in your life today. God wants you to start planting things in your life today. See, here you go. The third lesson that we can learn from this parable. We often can't see the seeds growing in our lives. This is the biggest truth ever right here. We often can't see the seeds growing in our lives. This goes for both good and bad seeds. Notice how Jesus says this in the parable. Now, the person who planted the seed can't see how it is growing, but in darkness, the soil is helping the seed grow. This does not sound like a very encouraging thing. Jesus literally said, it's in the dark seasons, it's in the darkness that you actually begin to experience growth. Like for me, I want to experience growth in the good things. Like I want things to be going great and fine. I'm growing, Lord. Thank you. But Jesus says here, if you understand the way that seeds in the natural are planted, you will understand how you grow in the supernatural as well. Your growth requires dark times and difficult times as well. Growth does not happen just in the sun and with the water, but it's in the challenging times. It's in the I want to quit times. It's in the God, are you really real times? It's in those moments of your life that God, I don't know if you're here with me right now. It's in those times that when you trust in the Lord, when you hold on to his hope, when you hold on to what he has for you, you experience growth. Here you go. This one's my favorite one. Fourth one. Growth in my life is slow. We just got to slow it down. Slow it down. I love this. Notice how Jesus said, First it sprouts, then the stalk, then the bud, then the fruit. There's no such thing as instant spiritual maturity. There's no 30-day workout to get Jesus abs. It takes time. Now, and this used to be something that used to frustrate me all the time, because I was just always in a hurry. I was always in a rush. I don't know why I was always in such a rush, but I was always in a hurry. And what I learned that while I was in a hurry, God was waiting for me to slow down. God was waiting for me to slow down. And I was like, yo, God, you gonna catch up and be on my pace, please? Like, come on, man, we doing something here. See, here you go. Your boss may be in a hurry. Your spouse may be in a hurry. You might be in a hurry. But God, your creator, is not in a hurry. He's not in a rush. May I say, busyness can be the most dangerous obstacle to your spiritual maturity. Being just so busy all the time. I'm just so busy. I have no time to spend time with God. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Philippians 1:6 says this: be confident in this, that he who begun a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. See, people plant seeds in your life. God plants seeds in your life. You plant seeds in your life. So here you go. How do I ensure healthy growth? How do I flourish? How do I become the person that God wants me to be? I'm going to give you 10 spiritual laws. I'm only going to do 2 today. Some people are like, shoot, 10? You ain't even started yet. I'm only going to give you 2 today, and then next week I'll give you the other 8. Unless I'm feeling it, and it may be longer. You want to know why? Because I ain't in a rush. You know, I'm slowing down up in here, okay? All right, here you go. First one is this. Everything, this is so good. Everything starts as a seed. Everything starts as a seed. Every dream started as a seed of an idea. Every achievement, every building you see started as just a seed of an idea. Your own life started as a seed. And that's weird to think about. But God set up a seed principle to create this world. Genesis 1:11 says this: at creation, then God said, let the earth have seed-bearing plants, and let the trees bear fruit with seeds in them. Then let those seeds produce the same kind of plants and trees that came from, so that the earth was filled with seed-bearing vegetation. Seeds are God's idea. Seeds are God's idea. God's seed system is pretty cool, because think about it this way. If you plant corn — I never plant corn before, but it sounds like it would be something very helpful to have in your house. Oh, let me get some corn real fast, go outside. But if you plant corn, you just don't plant one seed and you get one piece of corn back. You plant it and you get a whole thing back. You get more. You get a whole stalk. See, in God's kingdom — I want you to get this — in God's kingdom, you always get more back than what you planted. You always get more back than what you plant. God's grace through Jesus always gives us more than what we deserve. And that seed, which is so small, is responsible. Here you go, for some of the largest trees, most gorgeous scenes of nature we see. And I just want to encourage you today. Maybe you feel small in life. Come on, I want you to hear this. Maybe you feel small. Maybe you feel like you don't bring anything new to the table. Maybe you just think, well, I'm just a mom. I just work a job. I'm just a dad. I'm just a college student. You know, maybe you feel like, oh, it's someone else's job to make a difference. It's someone else's job to find purpose and freedom. But I want you to know today, whatever little you have today matters. Your life matters. Whatever you have matters. If you just have a little faith for your marriage or your relationship, God can heal that thing. God can transform that, and it can work out. If you have just a little faith for your mental and emotional health, if you just have a little faith for your kids that may be going a little wayward, God can come in and do something special. God can take the little you give him and do so much with it. So check this out. Job 8:7 says this: and though you started with little — I love this — you will end with much. See, I'm going to be honest with you, though. When I say much, I'm not talking about stuff, having a bunch of stuff. That's a prosperity gospel, and that is not biblical, and that is harmful. But when I say much, I'm talking about much in the sense that you can see God use your life for a purpose, to live on purpose. As you can see God begin to bring healing to your life, you can see God begin to bring healing to those insecurities, to those fears, to those worries, that God brings much. So everything starts. It starts with a seed. It starts with a seed. And this leads into my second point. A seed has no power until it's planted. A seed has no power until it's planted. Now, like I mentioned, at my previous house, my backyard was covered with nothing but wood chips. You know, I guess they like cut down a bunch of trees or something. I don't know what happened back there. They're in the wood business or something. But there was nothing but wood chips back there. And so we wanted to make the backyard fun for our daughter Kingsley to play in the yard. So what did I do? I went out and I got some grass seed. But as I got some grass seed and I looked around the yard, I was like, something don't seem right about this. If I just throw seed out here over all these wood chips, I don't feel like grass is going to grow. So I said, this is my first step of becoming a landscaper. Let me see what YouTube says. So I went online and I started learning. You had to prepare the soil. You got to prep the soil before you plant the seed. And so my yard was so bad, I had to rent this tiller from Home Depot. And I just went to town on the yard. I had this thing, and this thing's like shaking. I'm vibrating everywhere. I'm flying. You know, my arms are hurting everywhere. There's dirt popping up everywhere. I'm bouncing around. It was wild. But once I prepared the soil, I was able to plant the seed. Here you go. I want you to get this. I want you to get this right now. You have a vision. You have a thought. You have an idea. And then you're looking at the field in front of you, and you say, I don't even know where to start. I want you to begin to look at the field in your life and say, God, I'm going to prepare the soil in my heart for you. I'm going to prepare the field for you. See, you may have a dream, but you see an obstacle in front of you. Don't let the obstacle prevent your dream from happening. You may have a vision for your life, and the field that you're looking at feels like, man, I don't know if I can do this. You got to prepare the soil. It's time to prepare the soil, because once you prepare it, you will be able to plant the seed. So last week I talked about, last week was Easter, and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. I want you to see something that Jesus says about himself with the seed system as he describes the purpose for his death and resurrection. Check this out. John 12 says this. Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat is planted and buried in the soil, it cannot reproduce. So he's talking about his death. Jesus is saying, in order for his purpose to be fulfilled, to bridge the gap from humanity to God, he had to die for the sins of humankind. Check this out. He continues. He says, it will remain only a seed, but if he dies, it will produce many seeds and much fruit. Then he says this. Here's the application for us. If you selfishly hold on to your own life, you'll lose it. But if you give up living for this world, you'll gain eternal life. And I just got to say something. The reason why following Jesus is so empowering, is so encouraging, is so inspirational, because Jesus is not a deity out there somewhere that people can just look at and say, oh, that's a higher power. Jesus lived a life that we couldn't. He understood our human needs and desires and wants. Jesus had to make a decision to say, for me to fulfill my purpose, I got to die to myself. I got to die to myself. I got to be willing to die to myself so that my dreams, so that the reason why God put me here can actually come alive. And friends, I just want to ask the question. I want to throw it out there for you to think. Is there things that God is calling you to do, but you're holding on to your own way, your own thought, your own comfort? When God is saying, I just want you to step out. I want you to step out. See, I've been a pastor for right around 10 years now, and I primarily work with youth and families for most of that time. But one thing I discovered about a 13-year-old teenager and a 50-plus adult, one thing they have in common is the ability to complain. It's the ability to complain. Complaining is no respecter of age. People rather complain, grumble, moan about how bad their lives are or how certain things have never happened for them. There are more people who are doing that than people who will pause for a moment, take inventory of their lives, prepare the soil of their soul, and choose to plant the kind of seeds today, come on, that will get them where they want to be tomorrow. See, we can either spend time complaining, or we can spend time planting. we can plant the seed. I could have went in that backyard and said, oh, we'll just never have a good yard for Kingsley. We'll just never do this. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. Or you can take action. You really got two choices. You know, what you're going to do? The Hebrew writer says this. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, Jesus, he endured the cross. The cross wasn't joyful, but it's what came after the cross. Grace to all humanity. That was the joy. That was the joy that Jesus endured. Here you go, James. You can come on up and play behind me. See, some of you, I want you to get this picture in your head. Some of you have a bag of seeds, a bag of dreams, a dream of a nice grassy lawn. Come on, somebody. And you know how you would like it, but you haven't prepared the soil. You haven't prepared the soil. Now I'm going to give you a question that can really change your life. I believe this. If you take this to heart today, if you ponder on this, you pray about this, if you ask yourself, what do I need to do today in order to get where I want to be tomorrow? For some people, I even right now, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is saying to me, for some of you, what thing do you not need to give up on yet? Don't give up on it yet, because it's going to get you where you want to be tomorrow. Don't stop yet. But what do I need to do today in order to get where I want to be tomorrow? What do I need to do mentally? What do I need to do physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially? What seed do I need to plant today? Because if you don't plant it today, you won't get that harvest tomorrow. The harvest is not just going to show up out of nowhere. You got to plant it. You got to plant the seed. Plant whatever seed you need to plant. Start a new habit. Stop an old habit. Here you go. Just plant a tiny seed. Just a little seed. Don't be the person who never works out, but one day you decide, I'm going to work out every single day for 2 hours a day, and I'm only going to eat chicken and broccoli every single day because I need my hot summer body because summertime is coming up. Don't be that person. You may work out once and then eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich and think you're eating something healthy. It ain't healthy. No, start a small seed. Just a small thing. Working out one time is better than working out no times. Like just one seed. Just start speaking one encouraging word over your spouse other than the negative ones. Just start speaking one thing over yourself, one positive thing over yourself. Just start spending one day with the Lord. Just start spending one moment with the Lord a day. See, Jesus says it's just a small thing. Just a small thing. Jesus says this in Matthew 17:20. If you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Check out this next part. Nothing will be impossible for you. I love this. It's just a small seed of faith. You won't see the change overnight, but it will start growing in the dark. And then overnight, and then one day, it's going to sprout, which leads to a harvest that will bear fruit. I'm going to say something today. I know I'm young, but I spent a good portion of my journey of being a Jesus follower just waiting for God. I've been living for God for 15 years now, and I've just been waiting for Him to do what was in my heart or what was in my head. And one thing I learned from this crazy pandemic season, God has been waiting for me the entire time. God has been waiting for me the entire time. And I'm going to say something to you today. I think God is waiting for you. I think God is waiting for you. He already said that addiction in your life, yeah, I'm ready to free you from it. Are you ready? That financial breakthrough, I'm just waiting for you to start a budget. I'm just waiting for you to start trusting me with your finances. Here you go. And it's not a you got to do more type thing. It's not a I got to perform more in order for God to love me type thing. It's not that at all. It's a embracing the grace that God has already given you in your life. He's already given you His grace. He's given you His love. He's given you the seeds to start going after the life that He wants for you. And I'm going to tell you this, friends. once you say, God, I'm done waiting. I'm going to start going towards you. He's faithful. He's faithful to grow those things in your life. Pretend you're a farmer with the land. You already have the seed to start growing your harvest. But instead of using the seed you already got, you complain about how the land isn't how you want it to be. So God has given you grace and His Holy Spirit to start working the yard in your life so that you can become who God wants you to be. And I'm speaking to myself today too, friends. I'm speaking to myself. I know you can spend your entire life saying the phrase, when I get this, I'll start doing that. No, you won't. You won't. You won't start. Friends, you might always struggle with some insecurities. You might always struggle with an addiction. You might always struggle with an anxiety. Here you go. Don't mishear me. I do believe we serve a transformational God, that He can heal the brokenness in your life, that He can redeem you from addictions, that He can set you free from anxiety. And trust me, I believe that, but I also believe in the power of being an overcomer. I believe in the power of being an overcomer. And the thing I love about overcomers, nobody can take that away from you. No one can take it away from you. When you overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit, when you keep pressing forward, even though I feel insecure at times, I refuse to stay stuck. Even though I want to entertain that addiction because pressure is coming on in my life, I have something more to live for, and that thing won't cut it anymore. I got to keep going after Jesus. See, even though I feel this way, I'm going to keep going after the heart of God. 1 John 5 puts it this way. You see, it says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world. For our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors defeating this power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I love it, friends. Come on, somebody. Plant that seed so that you can flourish. It was an act of faith when Aaron and I left Virginia Beach to plant this church. It was an act of faith to not give up during the COVID season and keep pressing on, because we know that God has a vision for Richmond City. We know that God has a purpose for us here, and we're going to keep pressing through because there's people who are far from God and who need to be connected to God. It was an act of faith when multiple people left their homes to start this church with us. It was an act of faith when the COVID hit and it felt dark. But that seed of faith, you take it, you bury it in the dirt, and it grows in the dark. And I'm going to tell you this, that's faith. And it's risky, but better to plant the seed than just to hold it in your hand and never do anything with it. Friends, plant the seed today. Plant what God is doing in your life today. So what are you growing in your life? What are you going to grow? I tell you this, you are made to flourish. Just start growing one seed at a time. Come on, bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness and your favor. We thank you for your power. And even right now, Holy Spirit, I feel you. I feel the Holy Spirit saying to people who are in this room and people who are watching online, it takes this one tiny seed of faith. Just one seed of faith. Don't overcomplicate it. Just one thing. Just one tiny seed. Come, Holy Spirit. I just even feel right now there's just this spirit of like, you can't do that. That's not for you. That's not for you. You're already at the end of your rope. You can't do it. I just feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, there's still life for you. This power in the name of Jesus. Who are the overcomers? Who defeats the world? Those who believe Jesus is the Son of God. So God, we believe in you. We trust in you. We hope in you. We find victory in you. We love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.